everybody. Welcome back to Author Eke. Today we have Matt Scott. He's going to be talking about his books, writing process. And if you know Author Eke, whatever comes into both of our minds, we're going to talk about, especially my mind, because it rambles and goes all over the place. So Matt, why don't you introduce yourself to the Author Eke crew?
All right. Well, I'll try and make this as fast as I can, but my journey to writing is a little bit of a lengthy one, but long story short, I hated reading when I was growing up. I mean, I absolutely hated it. They made us read such quote unquote classics in high school and college that I just could not get into it. And, you know, when the phenomenon that was the Da Vinci Code came out, I kind of clamored to it like everybody else. I was like, I got to read this. And I was on the elevator one day at work and talking to some guy, one of my colleagues, about spy novels. And there was another guy on the elevator that I just didn't see. And he starts talking about, well, if you like spy novels, you need to check out Vince Flynn. Now, I never saw that guy before in my life. I've never seen him again. So I think that was a moment of divine literary intervention. Wow. Because once I logged on to Vince Flynn and Brad Thor, you know, I was hooked. And, you know, when you start, you know, reading novels year, you know, spy novels, you know, year after year, you know, you're not only reading it, you're kind of taking a class in the author's craft, right? Mm-hmm. So things just kind of started to absorb, and I started thinking about writing, you know, my own novel. But, you know, self-doubt is a curse to all of us, right? You know, I'm from the corporate world. I have no experience in either military intelligence, CIA intelligence, or, you know, least of all the literary world. So it was kind of like, you know, can I do this? And, but I started forming an idea in my head, and Iran had always been fascinating to me just simply because of the hostage crisis that happened. Mm-hmm. And I always wondered what it was like before that crisis took place. And what's it like now? Because, you know, because of all the economic sanctions and, you know, the lack of diplomatic relations between the two countries, a lot of people from the West just don't even know what it looks like. I mean, you know, you had the Argo movie a few years ago, and you got to see a little bit of a glimpse, but I really wanted to explore it a little more. But then I went to a book signing with David Baldacci in Waynesburg. I drove through a snowstorm to get to see him. And I was getting ready to be 40 at the time. And, it was my turn at the desk. And I was like, look, I'm getting ready to be 40 next year. Is that too old to write your first novel? And I kid you not, he stopped.
I was 62.
You're 62?
I was 62 when I wrote my first novel.
Oh, man. Okay. So that gives us all hope, right? And... But I mean, he stopped mid signature. I have the book where the dot is, and he stopped.
Oh, wow.
And he said, no, hell no. You know, the industry could use some good young writers. So I didn't know if I should be happier that this, you know, great man, you know, the literary world was telling me to go forth with my destiny, or that he thought 40 was still young. But I took him at his word and, started writing. So I started, Surviving the Lion's Den April of 2019. You know, I hired an editor of my own from New York, and I worked with her. We kind of retooled some things, and I spent COVID getting an agent. And by that December, I had a publisher, and Surviving the Lion's Den came out in October 21. And I was fortunate enough that, you know, my publisher liked it enough. He said, well, I like it, but I like it enough that I just don't want one. I want a series. So I wasn't really in a position to tell him no. But I, you know, I had to come up with two more ideas right off the top of that. And, he said yes. And those two other books ended up being, The Iranian Deception. And, I closed the series out with the Ayatollah Takedown, which came out, March of last year.
Excellent. When I was in seventh grade, I could hardly read.
Really?
I had to go to extra. I didn't have any kind of issues other than I didn't like to read. So, because I couldn't read very well. So I had to go to special reading classes, seventh and eighth grade. And, you know, and then I really started reading in the Army, because you have to read manuals and everything. And
yeah,
World According to GARP was like the first book that I really ever remember reading. And that was a big old book. Then, of course, Tom Clancy, Robert Ludlum, Clive Cussler, Dan Brown, and then some folks that Steve Stratton, and some other books that I've started latching on to. I actually interviewed Kyle Mills last August.
Great guy.
So it's interesting. Yeah, I don't think you're ever too old to do something, that long as you have a creative mind.
I agree. You got to have the drive to see it through.
Yeah, what you have to do is you have to tell somebody you're going to write a book, because once you do that, they're going to ask you, "Is it done?"
Right.
No, it's not done. I'm still writing it. You know, what are you writing? I mean, you're War and Peace or something? I mean, you know.
Well, see, for me, it was actually a little bit different. I didn't tell anybody. The only person that knew was my wife, and I was doing it simply because I was in a dead end job in corporate America that I just was not happy with. I mean, there are a number of factors associated with it, some of which, you know, were, you know, I share the blame for. But I mean, I wasn't going anywhere. So at some point it just got to be like, I have this idea. I owe it to myself to see this out and to try it. And it was because I didn't want to be on my deathbed saying, I wish I had. I'd always had kind of a talent for writing, but, you know, writing fiction was something, you know, totally different. And it ended up being a very liberating experience for me because, you know, it was just me and the keyboard. I had no boss to report to but myself. Nope. I had, you know, I was living and dying by the sword.
You set your own deadlines.
Exactly. But I mean, I was strict with myself, and I set a routine. You know, I do about, you know, 1,500 words a day. And I just made sure that, you know, I challenged myself. And one of the best things that ever happened to me was, you know, I'm kind of in between, you know, a plotter and a pantser. What I'll do is, you know, I'll say something as simple as, you know, Travis is going to the store, and I know where the direction I'm going, but, you know, I have to work it out during the process of writing the chapter as to how I want to do it. But I would often write myself into corners when I got there. I was like, oh my God, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And how am I going to write myself out of this? Yeah. And the best thing that ever happened to me was, you know, allowing the creative process to take over, and just, you have an idea and you just go with it. And sooner or later, you know, you've written a character out of a situation and that you hadn't even thought about, you know, you just let the creative process take over. And I remember doing that a couple times, and I just kind of sat back. I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. I would take a celebratory shot of Jack Daniels after that moment. And
about four later, you're going, I can't write it anymore.
Yeah. I have to limit myself to one, just the one shot.
So I'm very much like you. I started as a pantser, right?
Okay.
And just writing what's the top of your mind and trying to get the whole thought out to the end.
Yeah.
Then my latest book, one of four historical fiction, I didn't outline, I just put what I wanted to put in the book, like weapons, weather, time period, you know, that. So that's how I based the book off of what I wanted to put into it. Because what did I need to research for those particular items to put in the book?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. I'm like a squirrel. I don't think I have. I'll start out like, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I just want to start writing. You know, and just start writing.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, you talked about Kyle Mills. I know how he outlines and how he writes, and quite frankly, it's just a testament to how good he is. Because I don't. It would drive me nuts to outline and to write the way he does, but everybody has their own process, right?
Yes.
And for me, that process is, you know, I'll work my 8-to-5 job. I'll go downstairs, have dinner with my wife till she falls asleep on the couch at 8:30. And, you know, I'll come back upstairs and write. And the first thing that I'll always do is I will reread what I wrote the chapter before, the day before.
I do too, and I edit.
Absolutely. And to me, it's beneficial because that's the way to get the creative juices flowing. That's like stretching before a workout, right? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, you've done your stretching, you know where you're going. Now, okay, go ahead and write, the next chapter. And mm-hmm. like I said, my number is anywhere between 1,000 and 1,500 words. Now, if I have a chapter that ends up being like maybe 500 or 700, I'll go ahead and write the next chapter. My brain has a good way of letting me know when it's exhausted. But right. my only hard and fast rule is once I start a chapter, I have to finish it. I will not stop in the middle of a chapter because it's too hard to get the creative juices flowing. And mm-hmm. if I'm writing a chapter that I just think isn't working well, I delete the whole thing. I stop and I'll come back the next day and just try it again because mm-hmm. I'm not going to try. And my process is that, you go with what works. And right. if something's not working, then there's no need to keep overanalyzing it and fighting it, because that's when the dreaded, B word comes in, block. And you don't want to put yourself in that situation. So it's easier just to kind of just walk away and come back, because it'll come back to you. It's one of those things that, once you have an idea of where you're going to go, you're not going to let yourself down.
Right. I agree. For this, the book I just finished is, I was halfway through the third in my Team Texarkana series, and I had this idea, and I just stopped and started writing this book, and I could not stop writing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was an interesting situation, right? It felt part of the book.
When the juices are flowing, you don't stop them.
No, and that's why I finished that in, pretty good time, but I like to write. I retired, then I figured I didn't like not doing anything really. So I'm a monitor on special education bus here in the school district in Allen. So
nice.
It's like 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. I get off the whole time off. So I come home and work out and then write. In summertime, I get all summer off, which is fantastic. So I'll just work out in the morning, then come out and sit out by the pool. And work outside and type outside because I like that. Because by the end of the day, I'm like, I want a beer and you're disciplined because you stop at one. I want to, just kind of relax and kind of decompress a little bit. Not decompress. Decompress.
I get it. I get it. I mean, everybody's got to do what works for them. I mean, I can listen to maybe some instrumental music. I think.
I love listening to country and Western when I do it.
Jack Stewart. I remember I was listening to Jack Stewart. He and I kind of have the same process. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll listen to some instrumental, but mostly, I like to write in my office. I have headphones on. It's going to be usually to block things out, but I can't listen to anything with lyrics because I'll start singing along. Once Guns N' Roses starts going, man, you can't stop me. So
well, sweet something of mine is in your book
sweet
somewhere.
Child of mine, man. Oh yeah,
when that
guitar chord hits, man, it's full stop, man. It's full stop.
I like this one song, and the second book, Cobalt, is there's a it's a beautiful Chinese woman, but she doesn't know it. She absolutely doesn't know how beautiful she is, and so I put in there that while this guy talking to her, he's in his mind, he goes thinking of the song, she doesn't know how beautiful she is. So he's singing that to himself as he's talking to her. He said, you just don't know. Add some stuff in there. But what are you writing now? I mean, you're done with your series. Are you writing another series, or are you writing a whole new? Because I went from thriller fiction, suspense to historical fiction.
Yeah, no, I've just started on an idea for a new book. Whether or not it'll be a series or not, I don't know yet. It is going to be different. I really enjoyed writing about Iran. I got to admit, I really enjoyed it because the location is so important to me in a plot.
I think it's an Arab country. It's a Persian country.
Persian.
They're not Arab.
No, it's not. And but I mean, there's a lot of beauty that's still there, despite what's despite the government. Yeah. So there's a lot to still see there. So location is really important to me. But I think I'm gonna pivot a little bit, just because I'm looking at the international market a little bit, and it just seems like it's things are changing a little bit. So I think I want to go. I think I'm going to be doing a little bit more of a domestic conspiracy thriller. I can't tell you too much about it, just simply because I literally just started learning it and started scratching the surface. But once you're a writer, you're always a writer. I tend to think that you just can't stop the creative juices from flowing.
I agree. I mean,
my contract with these books was for 3, and they haven't approached me for anything else. I mean, if they do, I'll certainly consider it. But in the meantime, I'm kind of back on my own clock, which is a good thing, because as proud as I am of the Surviving the Lion's Den series, my publisher put me on a really, really tight timeline.
At
one point, I was working 8 to 5. I was editing the second book, marketing the first book, and starting to write the third one. So, I mean, it was a lot of long days and long nights. That was the schedule they put me on, and that was a first time writer. I guess they could have said no or asked them to change it, but I wasn't going to, simply because, I was, still. And still have my head in the clouds from the fact that, I'm a publisher.
I'm a writer. So,
Exactly.
Yeah. I think I've already got an idea for my second one, which I got from the first one as I was reading the history of World War I, something that I didn't know. So now I'm starting to research that, and I'm going to write another one, based on that whole situation. I'm formulating in my mind, because when I start, I just kind of want to go for it.
Pretty good.
But you struck on something that I think a lot of authors struggle with, and that's the marketing aspect of a book. And I tell folks, it is, every book is a business.
Absolutely.
You've got to have a plan. And I didn't know that on my first 2 books, from the publisher perspective. I didn't know. They say, go out and market your book. I'm like, well, what do you do? So I got to do the podcasts and things. But so I think that's the hardest, building a brand.
Absolutely.
And then executing your plan and modifying it based on the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm not an expert in it, but, I've certainly learned a lot of things along the way. I am fortunate. I'm sure you feel this way too, but the writing community, I was really concerned about, how much competition, other writers would feel against, people in their genre. And it is not like that. Everybody, it is a very tight knit, supportive community. You repost my stuff, I'll repost yours. Yep. We'll help each other out, because, it's tough to hit big. In this industry, it really is. I mean, unless you really publish by one of the top publishers, it's hard to hit big. And, you just have to do everything that you can. I mean, if I could afford to take out a, $3 million billboard in Times Square, I certainly would.
I couldn't pay for it. I could afford it. I just couldn't pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, creditors would be knocking on my door. You do everything that you can. And as long as you just keep putting out that effort, I mean, it's at some point, something's going to hit. Nobody bats 0 forever. I mean, at some point the door is going to open. So you just got to keep pecking away. But, you do have to be creative with how you market it, what you post. You have to be careful on your social media when you're posting something that's not related to your book. Podcast community has been very, very supportive as well, yourself included. So, but you make a lot of good connections. And, I went to BoucherCon in San Diego this past fall. And
I'll be there in Nashville this year. I will be
Oh,
there in
good.
Nashville.
We'll get a beer because I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be there this year. Matter of fact, here's a funny story. My wife always wanted to go to Nashville. She found out the BoucherCon was going to be in Nashville. I woke up the next morning. She's like, "Okay, BoucherCon's in Nashville. I've already signed you up. We're going." I'm like, "Okay, well,
Didn't know
that
you had an
makes it,
agent. You didn't know you
yeah,
had an agent.
makes it a little easy." So, but you know, when I was in San Diego, I got to meet a lot of people that, you know, I've been corresponding with on social media, and it was a really good time. And making those connections is really important because I really feel like despite what social media has become, at least within the writing community, it's still very very much a who do you know type business.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's definitely important. So I'll keep going to BoucherCon as long as I can. They're going to have one, I think, in Toronto in a couple of years. I'm not sure I'm going to make that one, but between Thriller Fest and BoucherCon, it's important to stay visible.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do BoucherCon. I think I'm going to do the military writing one in the latter part of September.
Where's that? I haven't heard of that one.
San Diego.
It is going to be San Diego.
I
You have to
believe
send
I'm
me
gonna
some
do that
information
one.
about
Those two, because I'm kind of switching genres.
that.
But I, you struck on something. You know, the social media is important. You have a finite amount of dollars. Where do you put those ad dollars to? You know, how do you get the message out? Staying consistent. How do you? Because you're right. You know, the top five. I mean, they just send books to the, you know, Barnes and Nobles and Books a Million and boom. And, you know,
Yeah,
it's
they do it
bestseller
for you.
because they send 1,000 books, right? So not that they sold necessarily. And then you talk about competition. There'd only be competition if there was like 25 readers in the world, right? That, then that's, you know, that there's competition. But I when I wrote my first book, I said, I'm not going to let anybody read it because I don't want anybody to get an idea or not. You know, even the second book. Now, this book, once it was, you know, I told some folks once it was done, I say, read it, read a, here's a PDF, right? I mean, it's done editing, but read it. Let me know. And I've got some great feedback. So I think that's important to get that because there is no competition. When I look at it, nobody said, oh, that, you know, I'm not, you know, terrible book. Don't write it or, you know, I'm not going to help you. It's been the complete opposite. It's been a very synergetic type of partner ecosystem.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, who you get your book in the hands of is really, really important. That's where the community part comes in. You know, I've got a really good relationship with Steve Yerzeni, who did the book Perfect Shot that just came out. And he'll read my book and give me a review. I'll read his, he'll and give him a review. And I went to a book signing with Brad Meltzer one time, and he said to hit it big, your goal is to make sure that you get your book in front of the right person. And there's a lot of steps involved in that. You're not gonna, just step on the big stone the first time out. You gotta step on a lot of little stones and kind of lead your way up. But reviews are important. Obviously, Amazon and Goodreads reviews are important.
I
Good
used
year,
to put
sorry.
GoDaddy. I used to put GoDaddy.
But I've been fortunate that my novels have been gotten good enough reviews that they've made their way into the hands of some former CIA personnel. And you write the books for anybody so that anybody can read them, right? Selfishly, I think I wrote my novels a little bit for myself just simply because I wanted to prove that I could do it. But I wrote it in the best way possible that would represent the CIA personnel, the writing, and for them to always come back and say, you did a really good job, with the geopolitical climate and how you represented the operative and stuff like that. That's the type of smile that just never comes away from my face. I mean, it's just when the real people tell you did it right, that's awesome. And that type of authenticity goes a long way in marketing.
Yeah, it's one of four. I've sent out some folks, some Steve Stratton, Eric Bishop, Jeff Circles, a bunch of folks, Michael Carlson, and the feedback and some of it's like I you know, A, I had to read it twice because there was just not this. It's hard read. It's just so it's emotional. I had to sit back and think about what I wrote, what I read,
mm-hmm.
because of how I put the book together. David Darling, and he goes, I've never seen anybody write the way that you have, almost like first, third, and second person in the book.
Oh wow! Okay, that's, because that's
there's
tough.
There's a father son. At first, is a kind of a third person of what happened in 1918. French girl, and mm-hmm. then what happened, the book's found by a father and son, so they're communicating back and forth, but they're also reading the diary out loud,
mm-hmm.
and as they go and they build a relationship because of what happens in the diary.
Interesting. I tell you what, bravo, that's tough to do. So bravo, that is tough to do.
That's all, but I'm pretty impressed with it. I like it. and it's interesting.
It should be
It's interesting because I kind of dedicate it to the third old guard, the Tomb of the Unknown mm-hmm. Soldier, so I'm actually mm-hmm. trying to communicate with those guys. I got with the PAO. I would like to give a book down to the Sentinels so they can read it, because it is about that.
Very nice.
The soldier in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
very nice. Bravo.
Yeah, we'll see, but I mean I like it. It's an enjoyable book to read. I get emotional when I read it, and I wrote it.
I'm not an emotional person.
Talk to folks. I'm not an emotional person.
Well, I mean, I tell you what. I think that's a sign. I mean, it's going to sound weird to hear this, but I mean, to me, that's a sign of skill. I mean, there was a couple of a couple of moments that I wrote in Lion's Den, and well. Really a couple in all three of the books, but anyway, mm-hmm. You emotional scenes are meant to be simply that, yeah. Emotional. So, I mean, if you can't feel that when you're writing it, or when you do feel that when you're writing it, then you should also feel it when you're reading it, even though you're reading it back to yourself, because
my wife said, what's the matter? I go, damn onions.
Oh, it's just my allergies.
Yeah, it's all right. What is this? It's April, May. What am I? March? Yeah, I got allergies. So you're writing another one. When do you you have like a timeline you want to be able to put that out? And where can everybody get a hold of you and find you and buy your books and stuff?
All right. Well, so the new one, TBD. I just started on it, and framework. So it's I've still got some research to do, so it's probably going to be about a year.
I
hope to make it less than that, but I do not like to rush the process. You don't get many chances to make a good impression, especially yep. with a new series. So I got to make sure that I do it right. If you want to check out, excerpts from my books and my website, and even some book trailers, you can go to mattscottbooks.com. And you can always reach me on any of the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Matt Scott Books. I do not do TikTok because I am not a fan of Chinese spyware. It may hurt me in sales, but I am not putting that on my mm-hmm. phone.
I can see that. I use it, but very seldom do I post on it. People got my crap probably already, I have a tendency to agree.
Yeah, it's funny though. When I went to Boucher, I was in one of the conferences with some agents, some publishers, and they said that they actually have weekly meetings about TikTok. And I think it's a good thing because mm-hmm. All it takes is for one of the users who has a million followers or whatever to start talking about your book, and then all of a sudden things tick off, and that part of it is truly excellent. And I think it's done wonders for, especially I think the romance, the fantasy, and to a certain extent, the sci-fi genre. The thrillers are a little bit different because mm-hmm. our audience tends to be, 50 plus, generally mm-hmm. speaking. It's not always that way, but so TikTok is a little bit different, and you have to get really creative on TikTok to really get something to take off. And as dedicated as I am to that process, I'm not going to spend 4 days trying to post a 30-second video that
we'll
go viral. Just there's Brad Thor is too, his ingrained in my mind too much that, you know, the Chinese spyware is not something you want to mess with. So I just kind of,
yeah, I'm using more Instagram. I'm using more Instagram now. You know, Facebook, Twitter. I'm not a big fan of Facebook either. Demise of Western civilization. And, you know, Twitter or X, things like that, you know, book signings and, you know, getting the name out and, you know, getting the folks to review your book. That's important. So folks, if you read a book, put a review out on Amazon or Goodreads or NetGalley, wherever you want, you know, it doesn't, you know, if it's a good or bad, just rate the book. I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
Hey, it's very author feedback, but to be constructive, you know, on your feedback.
It definitely helps. And I tell you what, I watch mine on Amazon with bated breath. Oh, I got another one. Oh, I got another one. So that's always good. It warms the author's heart a little bit, but here's another thing. Whenever time you leave a review, it helps the author on Amazon's algorithms, because the ratings change the way, you know, the search criteria is done. So the more reviews you get, obviously, you know, the more you're going to move up on any type of search criteria that they have. And that's really important. That's really how authors try and sell more books, especially if you're, you know, not on the top five publisher.
I did this when I self-published this one.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's great because I put it out. It's already pre-sales on Amazon and everything. And but you know, I'll read a book. Oh, you know what? There's a quote mixing, or there's a word. I'll go back here and update the files. Boom. Because when I send it out, the book is, you know, damn good shape.
Absolutely.
Plus the other folks, and then you know, all the, you know, the cover and everything. So
yeah.
Well, great. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we wish you the most success in your three you got going. Continue to sell those, and then your next one, that when you do put it out, we're going to have you back on here to talk about that one.
And thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that, Travis. Thank you so much.
Maybe next time you don't have an 8-to-5 job.
That would be nice, right? That's the dream. That's the dream. We'll see. Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah, you'll probably be working more, but it'll be more enjoyable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye.